We're talking to God, you know. Did you know that, the name, the word God, was not even used in Old Testament times? They weren't allowed to use it. They could only speak of God through his attributes. God was so magnificent and mighty to them that to say the word God was forbidden. They would say El Shaddai or Elohim or Yahweh. Those words and others that describe the attributes of God. God the protector, God the warrior, you know, God who heals us. Those were attributes, but they would never specifically say the word God. But in our gospel reading today, the disciples are hanging out with Jesus, and he turns his eyes heavenwards, and he said this. He said, Father, the time has come. He taught us to call God our Father. And you know that no matter what your father was, good or bad or indifferent, God is always good. He's always a good father. So when Jesus lifted his eyes heavenward and said, Father, he was talking to God. And he did that as an example for us and said, you can talk to God. And we do it through prayer. And we do it through song. And I've told people this before. I said, if God is one-tenth of who he says he is, then he's the most incredible being that ever existed. We have no idea. When we worship him, we know that he's the magnificent creator who sits upon the throne. And Jesus speaks to him on our behalf. Did you know that? Jesus speaks to God on our behalf. Even today, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us on our behalf. When I was a kid, I got in trouble in school. Go figure. It was one of those situations where I got in trouble, but I was right. But it didn't matter because I got in trouble because of the way it was handled. It's like two kids fight, both kids get in trouble, regardless of who was right. Yeah. So my dad got wind of it, and he got upset. And when I got home from school, I tried to explain to him what happened. He said, I don't want to hear it. You got in trouble. And he was angry. So my big brother, Mike, he was there. He happened to be there when I got in trouble in school. And later on, when Dad calmed down a little bit, he went to Dad and he said, here's what happened. Jerry actually was right. What he did was good. And he explained it to my dad. He stuck up for me. He talked to my dad on my behalf, and my dad listened to him. And a little bit later, my dad came up to me and told me how proud he was of the way I had handled things. I needed to hear that from my daddy. And all was well, and life was good. See, my dad affirmed my dignity and honor. It was magnificent to me at that time. He affirmed my dignity and honor. In this reading today, we come up with a word that we see a lot in the scriptures, but we don't quite know what it means. We even sing it. We sing, glory, glory, hallelujah. What does the word glory mean? We think we kind of know that, you know, fireworks have glory and, you know, brilliant lights and magnificent things have glory, but what does the word mean? So I looked up the Greek word, and I can't pronounce it, but I looked up the Greek word and where it came from and the root of the Greek word, and it settled on three main things that the word glory means. The word glory means honor, honor. You know what honor is. The word glory means dignity, and it means magnificence. It also has to do with praise and worship and a show or display of that honor and that magnificence. So when we talk about glory, the glory of God, we're talking about dignity and honor to God and his magnificence. And so when I say the word glory, and when we hear it in the readings today, think of those words, honor, dignity, magnificence. Jesus said, Father, the time has come. Bring glory to your Son. Then your Son will bring glory to you. You gave him, Jesus is talking now in the third person about himself. You gave him authority over all people. He gives eternal life to all those you have given him, said Jesus. And what is eternal life? What does it mean to live forever? What is eternal life? Jesus answered his question. He said, Father, it's knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, speaking of himself, whom you have sent. Then Jesus changes to the first person and says, I have brought you glory on earth. Jesus said, as I've been on earth, I've brought you honor, magnificence, and dignity, God. So now, Father, give glory to me in heaven, where your throne is. Give me the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus was with God before the world began. We know that. And he came to earth as a man, born of a woman, born of the Virgin Mary. So then he continues praying, and he continues to pray for his disciples. And he prays also for those whom his disciples have touched and those who read the readings and the teachings of the disciples. He says this, I have shown you to the disciples you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew for certain that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. How did the disciples treat Jesus? Remember when he had some hard teachings that he was saying to people, and a lot of the people that were following him said, I'm not going to follow him anymore, and they left. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, are you going to leave too? And they said, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go. This is about God, and you're the Son of God. We know that now. That's how they glorified him on earth. Glory has come to me, he said, because of my disciples. I pray for them, he said. I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for those you have given me because they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. Can you say that to God today? All I have is yours. Because if you say that to God today, he says, all I have is yours. Glory has come to me because of my disciples. What did the disciples do? Up until then, hadn't they been sort of a stumbling, bumbling, ragtag bunch of guys following him around and just about wrong about everything that came out of their mouths? I mean, what was he talking about? The glory that his disciples brought him. He was talking about the fact that you and I are sitting here today worshiping the Lord. He was talking about the fact that the disciples believed who he was. This is the Messiah, the Son of God. And they went out and established churches. And they laid hands on men. And they said, we're ordaining these men to be bishops in your churches. And down through the ages, as Bishop Kessler referred to a couple of weeks ago, this has happened on and on and on it goes until today. We're sitting here in church worshiping because of what the disciples did and what they said and what was written down. He continues, I will not remain in the world any longer. And he says, I'm coming to you now. Jesus is talking to the Father and saying, I'm not going to stay here. I'm coming to you. Did you know that Thursday was the day of ascension? Last Thursday was the day of ascension. That's the day that we celebrate 40 days after Easter, after Jesus appeared to over 500 people at one time and to his disciples and other groups of people, he ascended into heaven. We read it this morning in the first chapter of Acts. The people were standing there looking, and they all were looking up like this, and Jesus is ascending, and it says he disappeared in the clouds. And then over here stands a couple of guys in white raiment, and they said, what are you looking at? What are you looking up in the air for? Let's get busy. Let's get busy doing what Jesus sent you to do. And so they waited until the day of Pentecost, which actually is next Sunday. We celebrate the day of Pentecost next Sunday. I will not remain in the world any longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name. What is God's name? Jesus continues, it is the name you gave me. So at the name of Jesus, we receive power. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus said, keep them by my name. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world. I say them so that those you gave me can have all my joy inside of them. Jesus said he wanted us to have all of his joy inside of us. Can you have all of the joy of Jesus inside of you? Do you know what he faced on earth, and yet he had the joy unspeakable and full of dignity, honor, and magnificence? Because he knew that what we face on earth was only temporary. That someday we're all going to have eternal life with him. He was going to the Father to prepare a place for us. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. This is because they are not part of the world any more than I am. I do not pray that you will take them out of the world. I pray that you will keep them safe from the evil one. That's Jesus' prayer for you. Did you know that? He knows that you're going to live in this world. He said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but don't be afraid. I have overcome the world. You're going to have trouble out there, but don't be afraid, because I'm with you every moment. And Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he prays for you today. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us to God. To me, that's a wonderful, magnificent thing. That's the glory of God. Jesus said, I've given them your word. Do you know what God's word is? We held it up in our right hand this morning, didn't we? In our other hand, Lord, we took up the word. The word of God is the love letter that God wrote to us. It's the book we call the Holy Bible. And in it, we find treasure beyond belief. Trust me, open it, read it. You'll find out. I do not pray that you will take them out of the world. I pray that you will keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to it. Then Jesus makes a request to God. He says, Father, use the truth to make them holy. Use the truth to make them holy. What's the truth? The truth is the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The truth is that we were all sinners, and yet Christ died for us in spite of that. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And now, for as many as receive him, he gives the right, the privilege, and the ability to become the sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's the truth. Use that truth to make them holy. How do you become holy by the truth? You go to God in your unholiness. You go to him in your sinfulness. You go to him in your brokenness, and you say, Father, you call him Father. I come to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess to you my sins. I ask you for forgiveness. And you know what happens at that moment? It says, Jesus, God forgives your sins and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And what is something that's clean before God? It's holy. So he makes you holy. It's a wonderful thing to be made holy. We don't do any of it, do we? We simply surrender and allow him to do that work. Your word is truth, said Jesus. You sent me into the world in the same way I've sent them into the world. I make myself holy for them so that they too can be made holy in a true sense. And I continued a little bit because I went a little bit beyond today's reading because I want to see where this ends up. I want you to see where it ends up. Jesus begins to pray for us specifically. He was praying for himself, and then he prayed for the disciples, and now he begins to pray for us, and he says this: I do not pray only for them, the disciples. I pray also for those who believe in me because of their message. What's the message of the disciples? It's the Bible. It's what we read today as the New Testament. That's the message of the disciples. We believe because of the message of the disciples. Did you know that? Father, I pray that all of them will be one, just as you are in me and I am in you. I want them also to be in us. Then the world will believe that you have sent me. Jesus is praying for unity. What is unity? Unity is when we all become one. We all believe the same thing. How does that happen? Did you know that about 90% of all of Christianity believes the same thing? When we stand up here on a Sunday or on a Wednesday night or whenever on our daily prayers and we say the creed, that's the unity of the church. Did you know that the Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Churches and most of the Protestant churches, if they were to look at the creed that we say today, they'd say, yeah, that's what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Of course I do. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. He's our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, I believe that. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. We say this at the reaffirmation of our baptismal vows every time there's an ordination and every time there's a reception of new members. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. The church believes this. This is the creed. This is the unity of the church that Jesus wanted and asked God for. I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The word Catholic means universal. It doesn't mean Roman Catholic. It means Catholic is all of us. All of us who believe this is the Holy Catholic Church. The communion of saints, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. That's what we believe. That's what Jesus prayed for. I want that unity. And how will the world believe? How will the world believe in Jesus? Who's going to show them? We are. Who's going to tell them? And how are we going to show them and tell them? We're going to show them and tell them by our love and our words and our unity. That's what the people in the world are looking for. They say, I want to know this God, and the only way I can know this God is by seeing you. He's the visibility on earth. We are the visibility on earth of the living God. Did you know that? I have given them glory, Jesus said, honor, magnificence, and dignity. I did this so that they would be one, just as we are one. I will be in them. Is Jesus in you? Yes. By the Holy Spirit, Jesus is in you today. I will be in them just as you are in me, he's praying. I want them to be brought together perfectly as one. This unity of the church will let the world know that you sent me. It will also show the world that you have loved those you gave me just as you have loved me. Can you look around this church today at each other, and can you see the glory of God in each person? That's what Jesus was talking about. Can we see the dignity and honor and magnificence of the living God in each person in this church? And I want you to be honest, because if you can't see that in every person in this church, you need to. You need to see it, because that's what brings unity. What brings unity in the church is when we realize that we're all together under the same Father. We're all together believers in Jesus Christ. That creed that we say every Sunday brings us together, gives us strength and unity. This is what we believe. That's why we say it. We believe in God the Father. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Where is Jesus right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus said, God, I want them to be with me where I am, and someday we all will be. I want them to see my glory, my dignity, my honor, my magnificence, the glory you have given me. You gave it to me because you loved me before the world was created. God loved you before the world was created through Jesus Christ. Jesus continued, the world can't know holiness, can they? Jesus continued, he said, Father, you are holy. The world does not know you, but I know you. Those you have given me know you, and you have sent me. I have shown you to them and will continue to show you to them. Then the love you have for me will be in them. I myself will be in them. The love of God is in you today. Jesus Christ came to earth, and he preached the good news of the gospel. He preached the good news of the kingdom, and then he ascended into heaven, and he left it in the hands of the apostles by the power of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out upon all flesh. The good news is that the Holy Spirit is here today with us and in us. The Holy Spirit is here today working among us and in us and with us. Is Jesus in you? Do you want him to be? Was he telling the truth? Or are these just fables? He was telling the truth, wasn't he? When he prayed to the Father, he said, I will be in them. He was saying that for true. That's truth. He will be in us, and he is in us today. Does God the Father give his Son what he wants? Does a good father give his Son what's best for him, what he wants?
Yes.
Yes, he does. And so God answered the prayer of Jesus. When Jesus said, Father, the time has come. Bring glory to your Son. Bring dignity, honor, and magnificence to your Son. We know that in that passion comes the glory of God, and that he gives that to us. And that, my friends, that is why we stand here on Sunday morning with our hands in the air and we sing songs to that Father, because he's good. He sticks up for us. He tells us how proud he is of each one of us. Can you put your name in there? Can you hear God saying, I'm proud of you. I love you. He's a good Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together and say that creed and profess our faith.